Well, it's finally happened. The Magi statues in your home have been steadfastly walking across living rooms and kitchens and dining rooms and breakfast nooks for the past 12 days of Christmas, following the brightest starlight in your living room. And last night, I assume, they made their way to your nativity sets, right? They all showed up by Jesus. They must be so tired from their travels and oh, the adventures they must have had dodging dogs and cats and vacuums and Legos. This is how it plays out in your house, yes? No? The 12 days of Christmas have ended, and now it is January 6th, Epiphany Sunday, a time of light, the theme of manifestation. We remember how the star manifested itself over Jesus, beckoning those magi. We remember the manifestation or visitation of those magi as they arrived to bring their gifts to the toddler Savior. But ultimately, we remember that God became manifest in that Savior, known to the whole world in a new and incarnate way as the one who is willing always to come to us, not requiring the other way around, one who brings light into our darkness. But I want us to spend some time today thinking about those magi, because we have a lot to learn from their story. See, magi, despite our depictions, were not kings. They were Zoroastrian priests. They interpreted dreams, told fortunes, prepared daily horoscopes through the practice of astrology. Zoroastrianism is one of the oldest religions of the world, and at the time it was the official religion of Persia, which is where these men came from. Now, priests of the Zoroastrian religion believed they could foretell the miraculous births of their promised divinely appointed prophets by reading the stars, and they too were anticipating the birth of a true savior. Now, so far to me, these don't sound like the typical people you'd expect to be the first visitors among the Jewish Jesus, but you can kind of see why the story starts to unfold the way it does. And after what may have been a years-long journey, these magi show up in Jerusalem, and they catch the attention of King Herod. Herod, we learn, hears from them that a supposed new king has been born, specifically one they are calling the King of the Jews, which not coincidentally is the same title that Rome had given to Herod in 40 BC. Now you can see why Herod is terrified. Another king born in his territory would be a huge threat. In fact, the text says that all of Jerusalem was terrified alongside him. Was it because they were so loyal to Herod, or was it because their land had been captured and recaptured and ravished by war and violence for so long that they were just desperate for any sort of semblance of sameness and peace? Maybe a little bit of both. Either way, Herod and Rome have a very different reaction to the news of this newborn king than the Magi did. Now, a few months ago, I led us in an exercise at looking at only the verbs in a text, and I'd like to consider that again because I think it's really helpful today. I want us to put Herod and the Magi side by side and look at their verbs. Now, the Magi, these are the verbs that they have: coming, asking, observing, hearing, setting out, seeing, kneeling, paying homage, opening, and offering. To me, their verbs imply a sort of curiosity, a yearning, even a letting go of self and a pouring out. They're all aimed at paying attention to things outside of themselves and then being willing to interact and risk and open up to the unknown mystery that lay in front of them. In other words, it seems to me that these outsiders seem to have really good characteristics of a Jesus follower. In fact, the phrase paying homage doesn't just mean showing respect and honor, as we often think, just kneeling and sort of adoring. It literally means to pledge your loyalty, to pledge your whole life. So these Persian, Zoroastrian, outsider, Gentile priests come and turn their entire lives over to a Jewish king. Then we have Herod. Herod's verbs include being frightened, calling together, inquiring, secretly gathering, speaking, and sending. He is almost the complete opposite of the Magi, this supposed king of the Jews, a people who obviously, by the way, were also looking for a Messiah, panics when he hears about one, and he works hard to protect himself, to protect his power. While the Magi are pouring out, Herod is turning in, and as Martin Luther would say, he's navel-gazing. So why does any of that matter to us some 2,000 years later as we celebrate Epiphany? Well, my Gentile friends, it's because this story is really good news for us. Now, the contrast that we set up between Herod and the Magi is not to say that the Jews were or have been forgotten by God. It's not to say that God hasn't kept God's word to those chosen people in sending the Messiah to them. To the contrary, it shows that God has kept all of God's word, which is even bigger than just our Jewish brothers and sisters. Because all the way back in Genesis, there's a story of Abraham, who was also told to look at the stars and to count them if he was even able to see the expanse of blessing that God would bring his lineage. And he was told that he would be blessed to be, anybody remember? A blessing. Blessed to be a blessing to others. And in fact, as the Magi again stargazed for a sign from God, we see that we become that expansion of blessing. Because Abraham and his Jewish lineage was the blessed line from which came that Messiah, the one who came for the whole world, beginning with those Gentile Magi, and even on to us, to draw all people to himself in the most inclusive love imaginable. In fact, in this same gospel that we hear this story at the end of Matthew, we hear a commission to go and share the good news with all nations, to teach everyone the way and love of Jesus, who is king not just of the Jews anymore, but also of us Gentiles, us outsiders. The story of those Magi is an invitation to us, because through them we are able to see ourselves in the story of this tiny Savior who came, yes, even for us. We're encouraged not to turn in on ourselves for life and for light, but rather we're invited to respond in the same way that they did, the same way of those surprising outsiders, to wonder, to observe, to come, to kneel at the foot of this Jesus and to offer the gift of our very lives, because even if it's all a bit of a mystery to us, it's better than anything we've ever known or seen. But we, unlike the Magi, get to take it one step further. They followed the light. We are invited not only to follow the light of Jesus, but then also to bring it and to reflect it with us wherever we go. We are sent to let others know that they have a place in God's story. Maybe especially the ones who have been previously told that they are somehow beyond the scope of God's saving, told that they are outsiders, that they don't count, that they're not beloved and chosen children of God for whatever reason or because they don't fit in our particular brand of Christianity. The Magi and their astrology prove that God can work through anyone, anything, anytime, anywhere, and that as soon as we try to fit and force God's love into a box, it breaks out and surprises us like a can of snakes. There's an Epiphany tradition that many churches and families do called shocking the door. It's a way of asking God's presence and peace on home for the upcoming year, and I'd like to finish today by shocking our doors, if you'll allow me. Is there anyone on the property committee here right now? All right, it's just chalk. I promise I'll only chalk the door and not all the walls and the windows. Chalking the door invites God's blessing to those inside the home, but today I want us to take it even a step further. Even as we ask God to be known here among us, that we would ask God to help us open ourselves up to consider who's missing who has not come through these doors yet, how can we go out and share the light and the blessing and peace of this place with those brothers and sisters? And so the tradition of chalking the door is to start with the beginning of the year, 20, plus CMB, which is Latin for Christ bless this home. And then we finish with 19, in case you want to do this in your own home with your own family. And as we chalk our door and consider this new year, would you pray with me? Lord, bless this house and all who inhabit it. Fill us with the light of Christ, that our concern for others may reflect your love. May all who come to this home this year rejoice to find Christ living among us. May we seek and serve in everyone we meet that same Jesus who is the incarnate Word of God. Amen.